Imagine earning a degree that prepares you with real skills for the real world. Capella University's programs teach skills relevant to your career so you can apply what you learn right away. Learn how Capella can make a difference in your life at capella.edu.
Hey everyone, Julia Barbaro here, host of the Julie and Gino podcast. I'm here with the co-founder of Jake and Gino, my husband and co-host, Gino Barbaro.
Hi, Julia.
Hey.
How are we doing?
Amazing.
Today's guest, Julia, is amazing. I think it's kindred in spirit. So we're going to get into the podcast. I want to introduce her, but before I do introduce her, she's got seven kids, Julia.
I know.
She's
I know.
Written how many, nine books?
More than you.
How many of you?
More than you. I'm on three,
okay.
But I did help write that cookbook for you. So I think I'm going to take that. So I'm going to say four.
Okay, four. Okay. She's a nationally acclaimed author, founder, and podcaster, well known for her inspirational messages on parenting, faith, and community. Welcome to the show, Heidi St. John.
Hey, you guys, this is great. I already feel like in the pre-show, I feel so lifted up and got a lot of things off my chest already. So this is great.
Listen, where do you find the time? I mean, honestly, you look like you're 35 years old. Mm-hmm. You've got seven kids. You've got five grandkids. Where do you find the time, the energy, the inspiration to do all the stuff that you do?
Well, I'm thinking about quitting half of it. So I'm
getting
tired. You're
two different things. You're thinking about it, but you're not actually going to do it. So
yeah, I don't know. I mean, we'll find out. I've always had such a passion for people. I think, you know, that's kind of my deal. I love people and I love coming up with ways to sort of help, like, you know, see a problem, fix a problem. And so I got into homeschooling a long time ago. And I think that's sort of what launched all this thing. We took our kids, our oldest daughter, who's now 32 and a mother for herself. We took her out of the public school system about 26 years ago. And, you know, Heidi St. John, this woman who's like, can't keep houseplants alive. You know, God's like, I want you to homeschool these kids. And, you know, and oh, by the way, I'm going to give you seven of them. And it changed the course of our family. And in that, in doing that, you know, some people, like for fun, they like crochet, or like right now I'm on a sourdough bread kick. I've been, you know, ever since the Rona, I've been making sourdough for like 100 years. I love sourdough bread. It's like therapy bread for me. But homeschooling became, I started writing about blogging, like before blogging was a thing. I just started a little blog so I could sort of just, I like the sound of words on paper. Like I like to read them back and see what kind of a cadence it just, to me, it was relaxing. And it turned into a book. I wrote a book a long time ago, and it's been, oh my goodness, shoot, 15 years ago, called The Busy Homeschool Mom's Guide to Romance. It was about marriage and just the importance of nurturing your marriage through the homeschool years. My husband and I have been married for almost 35 years now. And I sent that book for fun. I sent it to Dr. Dobson, and he called me and said, I read your book. I, you know, loved it, and had me on his show. And that really set in motion a lot of things that I had not planned on having set in motion. And then in 2017, I signed a 7-book deal with Tyndale. 8 years ago, we started a podcast that I think at the time of this recording is going to hit 23 million downloads. So that show airs, I think, five days a week. Honestly, though, I'm thinking about taking it to 3 days a week. I think I might actually take it to 3 days a week.
Wow.
I'm thinking about that. But I love people. And everything I do, just like you guys, I do it with my husband. So we're just a team. We've planted the Homeschool Resource Center here. I was telling you guys about that a little bit before the show. We have 700 students here now, and we are working to help parents pull their kids out of this broken education system that is destroying our country from the inside out. And so there's just a lot of things that we're passionate about. I run a women's ministry called Faith That Speaks. And I ask women, if your faith found its voice, what would God have you say? If your faith found its feet, where would God take you? Our faith isn't supposed to be silent. It's supposed to be active. And so just trying to just get people off the bench and onto the battlefield. And it's kind of been the story of my life. So I'd say Jay and I have been working together now for 33 years. And as you guys know, I mean, it's the best of times and the worst of times, right? Mm-hmm. you hang in there through it. And there's a richness, I think, to our marriage now because it's so nuanced. And we have so many things that we haven't done chickens yet, though. We're getting there. But we've done so many things together. And I just consider it a real honor and a blessing to have been able to partner with him in this way. So he's right next door, actually, in another office.
Yeah. Richness. I've never heard that word. Richness. Okay.
So much to say. Do you want to ask a question?
Well, no, the only thing is 23 million downloads. I only have 6 million. So you're, I've got to step my game up.
I don't know. What are you doing? Kids, like you only have like, six kids and I take care of them. Like, what is happening?
I don't own apartments. And actually, you know, you and I, we'll have to talk about this at some point. Cause it is my dream to have just a little getaway house somewhere. That's what I want to do. I haven't done that yet. Jay and I keep thinking, man, we just like to have a little place that our family could go and get away to. And
if you can homeschool seven kids and write 9 books, you can, I can help you figure out how to buy a little home.
Yes. Right, Julia? Okay. 100%. I just want to first, I have to touch, I actually kill all my plants too. And everything
Soak
you said,
plants like, for the win.
I feel like, come on, sourdough. That's what's happening in my house right now. Yes. So I just love it. One question I have for you, because as you're talking, it's almost like a mirror image of what we do at home. And you like to help people. You like to fix things. Did you? And I know you have a great answer for this. How hard is it for you to ask for help?
Oh, gosh. Well, it's part of the reason why the mouse in the sea, right? Yes. The new book from Brave. Yes. And I think we can, and I've been in this mode myself many times where you kind of run into the martyr mom, you know, we're slamming the dishwasher shut. No one's helping me. No one's taking initiative. No one sees me. No one cares. And really what you mean to say is, I don't like to ask for help. I'd like for you to see the problem and ask if you can help me, right?
Yes.
And I think that's a lot of it. And, you know, for people who are like me, very type A, I'm a up early in the morning girl. I'm a list maker. Mm-hmm. I think it can be, we can burn out. And I've seen it happen over the years, especially with homeschool moms, where you think that you're doing it the right way, but really you're just burning yourself out. You're burning your family out. Your kids are, you know, frustrated with you, and your husband thinks that he doesn't recognize you anymore. And I think that's pretty, I hate to say this, but I think it's common. Among women, especially, right? We get ourselves there. So it's something the Lord's just been teaching. He's so patient. The Lord's good to us, right?
100%.
Well, he is good. She found me, right, baby?
I don't know what I would have done. You know, I think that's the hard part about mothering. And I tell people this, it took me 5 children for my midwife. It's like, listen, leave your pajamas on for 2 weeks after I leave.
Are you following Ballerina Farm?
Yeah. So finally I did it. And everyone that came into my house, are you okay? And I'm like, I'm just supposed to not be doing anything, but are you okay? And I'm like, no, yeah, I'm okay. But it's that feeling of if I'm not able to be up and going, then I'm weak. Then I'm not, you know, and the problem I've noticed over the years, and tell me if you experience it, especially our kids, we have 5 girls, and I'm sure, how many girls do you have?
5. I have 5 daughters and 2 sons. Yeah.
Nice.
Son, man. Don't compare to worse. You know what I'm saying, man?
I'm sorry. He's going to end up in therapy after this.
But this is
I'm not done.
The issue. The part of the issue is that women like you, you guys never complain and you never ask for help. And everyone thinks that you've got this amazing
have it
life.
All. I wanted
you
to
have
go
it
there.
All, yes. And it's like, but not really, because you're not the ones that go out there to say, boy, my life is tough. My husband can be a real jerk sometimes. Yeah. I don't have the support. But you don't complain. And I'm sure you're very similar to my wife. And everyone thinks that everything's great. Yeah. And when they find out that our 4th daughter, we couldn't get her in a car seat for 6 weeks. And my wife was stuck home for 6 weeks. And we have issues too. But we don't get online and complain about that. We try to figure out the solution.
That
correct?
Was a problem, but it wasn't the biggest problem. That's what I want to talk. That was where I want to go, is because I think we're doing other people a disservice by, from the outside, seeming everything's put together. Because so many people, including my daughters, were like, oh, this is how it's supposed to be. You're not supposed to struggle. You're not, because I didn't show it. And I'm sure I want to hear from you and how your children, because now one of your children has children.
Yes.
What, now that you have older kids, do you view that differently? That feeling of, go ahead.
I would say one of the things that I feel like I messed up, and I think, you know, I came in, you know, the first book I wrote for Tyndale is called Becoming Mom Strong, How to Fight with All That's in You for Your Family and Your Faith. And it just really chronicles a story of my childhood to kind of where I got, you know, to now. I came from an abusive home, and I mean, like the kind where my dad was arrested, kind of I'm talking about actual abuse, not the kind that everybody talks about on the internet. And we throw the words around now and they don't mean anything. Mm-hmm. But I was pretty broken when my husband married me. Broken emotionally, broken physically, really hurting. I didn't. And I was used to, I grew up in a very performance driven home. Everything was about performance. And I think I fell into that as a mother. And I heard one of my sons actually a couple of months ago say to me, I mean, my son, most of my kids are, you know, well into their 20s now. But one of my sons said to me that he felt like that was sort of the baseline. Like I judged what my kids did based on their performance. And if I could go back and see that, I just couldn't see it because I judge myself that way. Right. And I'm a very, I'm a very driven person. Everything is interesting to me. You know, things interest me. Politics is interesting to me. Homeschooling is interesting. I love being a mother. I love being married. Mm-hmm. I'm interested in a lot of things, but I think I put some expectations on my kids that I wished I wouldn't have done. And I think what I like moms to hear, and I think the reason why maybe the Lord blessed the platform that He's given me is because I was willing to share those things very early on. So, you know, people that listen to my show or have read any of my books, they read a lot about weakness. And I love to tell moms, if you're feeling weak, you're right where God wants you. He said His strength is found there, right? It's not found in your own strength. God doesn't want me to get to heaven and be like, I was amazing. Thanks for inviting me, you know, to the party. He doesn't, you know? And I figure like, I'm going to get to heaven, like with my hair on fire and my knees are going to be bloody. And I want to just lift my hands to the Lord and say, thank you. That was all you. Right. And to recognize that's where the credit goes. Because if I was going to follow in the footsteps of my family of origin, my marriage wasn't going to make it. My kids were not going to make it. And it's the Lord and His mercy and His grace. And also, I think, and I teach on this all over the country too, people can look at me and go, oh, she's done all this stuff. I don't do any of it alone. You know, my husband and I have done it together. I, very early on in my career as an author, I stepped out in faith and hired an assistant, and all of my money went to her. Everything that I brought in went to her, but she helped me keep going. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the same is true now. I mean, now we have a staff of, I think, you know, 5 or 6 people that a couple of them are here full time. And so I don't do any of this stuff by myself. I think it's a misnomer. I don't think that we're supposed to do that. Also, I loathe, and I'm not joking, and as I've gotten, you know, to be a little bit older, I'm in my mid-50s now. I loathe what social media has done to women in particular. Yeah. I have watched women, some of my fellow authors over the years, throw their families away for platform.
Yeah.
You know, because platform is what's coveted in the culture right now. And it's such a shallow, hollow, stupid thing. Nobody on Facebook is going to bring you a casserole when you've had a baby or come over and sit with you when your child tells you that she doesn't believe in God anymore, or, you know, you're having a bad day or a bad month or whatever it is. And we live for these interactions and these likes and these things on Facebook. And it's just such a hollow, empty pursuit. And so I think that's part of the reason why we started the Homeschool Resource Center, is to encourage the in real life relationships, because they matter so much more. Yeah. You know, and I mean, we've all seen it, you know. So my life is a really interesting story. I always tell people, you know, even a broken clock is right twice a day. And for whatever reason, that twice a day, the Lord's just really honored it. And the rest of the time, I've been like, what am I doing? Where are we going? What time is it? What's for dinner? I don't know, you know, like, so. Yeah,
we met through Brave. I would love for you to hold up the book that you launched with them. We'll talk about The Mouse in the Sea, because they are an amazing organization. If you don't know, go to bravebooks.com. Check them out. Heidi, talk about the book itself. Talk about, you know, and I mean, for you on YouTube looking at it, it's a beautiful illustrated book. It's got such an amazing message. Every single one of their books has a different message. So, I mean, what was the idea behind the book?
Well, first of all, I love that you said that, because can you guys see it? So cute. Look how cute this is. So cute. The illustrations are just wonderful. But so this is my character, this little mouse. His name is Mr. Mouse. And Mr. Mouse has the gift. He's discovered really early on in his life, he likes to help people. I think a lot of people hopefully can relate to that, right? And so he finds people that need help, and he goes and he helps them. And like these little creatures that live at the bottom of the sea, like his friend the seahorse has a cold. So he makes him some soup and he takes it to the bottom of the ocean in his little diver suit. And he says, you know, the horse is a little horse today. So he gives him a little soup. And then he sees an orca whale that's got a like a toilet lid stuck in on his teeth. And so he wedges it off and he's just helping all these people. But then the bad guys come and they get Mr. Mouse, and his friends are like, we can help you. And he says, oh, no, I can do it myself. You know, I got this. Well, he gets himself in more trouble because he refuses to take help. And so the story is just beautiful. It just beautifully illustrates for children the importance of not only offering help, but being willing to receive it. Mm-hmm. And I think moms especially can relate to that. You know, we get into this, I was saying earlier, the sort of martyr mom thing. I mean, maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm the only one who's slamming the dishwasher shut. I don't know.
We've gone through 3 dishwashers, so maybe that's the reason.
There you go. So see, yeah, I love this. And it really just, it carries this message that encourages people to really fight life's challenges together. Like we fight them in community. And I think this is the same way politically. I think we win when we fight together instead of, you know, the circular firing squad that the Republican Party has turned into. There's so many different aspects of it. One of the beautiful things I think that you can take away from the book, if you look around in the country right now, a mental illness among our young people is at an all-time high. I mean, forget the lie of transgenderism and all just the garbage that's being thrown at our kids right now. We like to point the finger on social media. We're trying to, these people who are living up to a standard that actually doesn't exist. It just doesn't exist. Like, my house isn't clean right now. I'm going to go home and I'm going to be upset because the kids didn't put the clothes from the wash machine into the dryer. And I have no idea actually what's for dinner. I'll have to figure it out on the way home tonight. And I think when we don't acknowledge the struggle, that's when that spirit, that frustration and that fear and that depression can sort of set in. And so at one point in the story, the mouse just realizes, oh, hey, I actually do need the help. Mm-hmm. And then he accepts help. And hey, guess what? His situation changes. And I think, you know, we all, as mothers especially, we got to have those people on speed dial where you can just be like, hey, I need some help. And that friend's like, I got you, girl. I got you. You need a mocha with extra whip right now. I'll be there in 5 minutes, right? We need those people in our lives. And sort of the theme of that is just with all the things that are happening in the culture, find your tribe.
Yeah.
Like, find your tribe. It's so important. And the social media, like, all this, there's a reason they call it virtual reality, right? Yeah. It's not real.
It's not real. Mm-hmm. I love that, because I think a lot of times when we don't say, when someone's offering help and we say no to them because out of, you know, usually our pride, I can
it's
do it
pride,
myself,
100%,
you know, we are stopping them from being charitable. And I think when we look at it from that point of view, it's like, wow, they're trying to be charitable and I'm not letting them. And so if you look at it from that part, then you're like, all right, you know what? Yes, please help me, because I want you to have that, because that's how we grow, right? Because that's what we always want. We always want to fix people. We want to help them. And then it's also the control that we have. We're very controlling moms. I'm going to be honest.
It's true. We don't like being out of control. Yeah. And you feel out of control when you're asking for help, right?
Yes.
You feel like, exactly. Okay, I can't do it. So now I'm having to relinquish control, and nobody likes that. But Paul said to the Galatians in chapter 6, like, we're supposed to bear one another's burdens. It's a biblical command, really, that we live in community with each other. Mm-hmm. And it's really important. I think, you know, sometimes we don't ask for help because we think we're going to be a burden to the other person.
Exactly. Yeah. But even at home, you know, we can't, even at home, because a lot of times we're just barking out these orders to the kids. Hey, when I get home, make sure this and this is done. You know, I've been in situations where I'm like, let me approach it a little differently and see what happens. And I would sit on the ground sometimes and I'm like, I don't know what to do. And they're like, what's the matter, mom? I'm like, I don't, every time I say something, like, no one. And so I'm like, well, what should I say to you? And they're like, oh, I don't know. What would be the, and if we turn around, like, cause a lot of times we don't even notice that, like, the little people in our house are people, you know what I mean? They're that little puppies.
And they're capable
mm-hmm. and they're actually should be in on that conversation. So I've actually changed the way I talk to my kids, maybe like, I don't know, 4 years ago or so. Wow. What a difference.
Yeah.
And I just encourage everyone to rethink the way we're speaking to people, especially in our husbands too. I mean, my gosh, my husband would come home and be like, what's for dinner? No, I'm just kidding. That never happened.
In the book, I just want to recap the book because I've got some notes here. It's look to ask for help. That's the first bullet point that I have. I wrote down adopt a go-giver mentality. The book by Bob Berg, who wrote The Go-Giver. Adopt that go-giver mentality where you're actually helping others like the mouses, mm-hmm. but then sometimes it's harder to receive than it is to give. Something that you had mentioned, which is really excellent. And seeking help is a strength, not a weakness.
Yeah.
That's a difficult one. So
yeah, it is. It awesome. Is. And God's created us to do that.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, Eve was actually created, you know, I mean, the feminists hate this, but Eve was actually created to be a helper.
Yeah.
Right. We need each other. And it's just such a beautiful, when we do that, all of a sudden you've got the benefit of, wait for it, living in community.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I wonder what the fear is. And you said that, and I just, for some reason, thought of this. I wonder if a lot of wives, a lot of moms have that fear. If I rely on my husband, what would happen? And so what's his view of me? You know what I mean? And so I think that's where the marriage, maybe we should have a good conversation about that as well in the marriage. And it's like, okay, where are our roles and where do I need help? And there are times, my gosh, there are times where I feel like I can take on the world. And I'm sure this is you too, Heidi. And there are times where I'm like, I think I'm doing too much because the kids are like, Mom, are you going out again? Like, where are you going? Like, are you coming back?
Well, it's interesting. It's so funny that you would bring that up because my husband and I were talking about this on the way in to the office today. And I was telling him, I don't know. I mean, I know a lot of women would just totally bite my head off for this. I know some of the women who actually would do that by name. But this is what I think. I don't believe, and I said this to my husband, I said to Jay, I said, I'm not trying to hurt your feelings, but you don't carry the weight of the responsibility for what happens at our house. Mm-hmm. He just doesn't. He's not wired for that. He's not thinking about what's for dinner until he's hungry. He's not going, I wonder if there's enough toilet paper in the pantry. Or I wonder if we've got, you know, is everything all stocked up out there? He's not thinking, oh man, we haven't dusted the shelves in, you know, 6 months. He just doesn't think about this stuff. I love him to pieces. He doesn't think we need to run the laundry. I think that stuff.
Yeah.
And I think in many ways, I mean, God has just wired us differently. God gave women domain in the home. Mm-hmm. And as someone who has been, you know, working for, you know, a long time now, writing books and traveling and speaking and doing podcasts and stuff like that, I don't think I was designed to carry the weight of the financial responsibility for our home. Because I don't think it's fair for me to have to carry that and feel the weight of the responsibility for running our home. And I think that's why I see so many women today who are burned out. And because we're intrinsically designed to be nurturers, to care for the home, to make the home a place where the family wants to be, where my husband is like, wants to come home to. Well, the very nature of who I am, I hurt my own nature when I'm just constantly out of the home.
Yeah.
Right. And so we don't get snow very often here. People don't realize that. Washington State's kind of moderate weather. Like the winters is just kind of gloomy and 50 degrees and sort of rainy. But last week we got an unexpected snowstorm. And because no one knows how to drive in the snow around here, dude, we were locked up at home for a week. I loved every second of it.
Yes.
I was like, oh my word, you know how much sourdough bread? I probably gained 15 pounds. I'm making sourdough. I'm growing microgreens. We have one daughter only left at home now. And so we homeschooled her a little bit. We had a fire in the fireplace. Mm-hmm. I loved every second of it. And I think that's how God has created us as women. And the feminist movement has lied to women. Yeah. You know, they've lied to women. And I think about how many hundreds of thousands of women have missed out on the opportunity of raising children and nurturing them and building a home that they love because they felt like they had to be both breadwinner and homemaker.
But then at the same time, I'm going to push back because men have to step up too, because your husband gave you the ability to do all that. I'm giving my wife the ability to do that. If I'm going to stay home, watch Netflix on the couch and not make any money expect you to do everything and make money, that's not true. So you have to suck it up. The men have to suck it up as well. And I think there's expectations set in the relationship when you get married, that we got married, she stayed home, came to work at the restaurant a little bit, and then, you know, but she stayed home, watched the kids.
I came to work when I wanted to.
Yeah. And when you need to take food out, right? Is that what happened? Yes. I think we have to point that thing.
Yeah, I agree. Like Heidi said, it's what it's society's teaching you that you have to do the work side of it. And you, like you said, we are designed to be nurturers. And so now we're struggling and now we're unhappy. And how many women do we know that are miserable in life because they have the career, they have it all, from what society.
You can't have it all.
You cannot have it all. You cannot have it all.
Are you guys related or something? Because I can just get off the chair right now. I mean, this.
Yeah, why are you even here? Like, I don't know. I'm sitting here.
Why are you weird.
Julia,
you can't have it all. Yes, you're right. You can't have it all.
I do say that, and I know it bothers some people, but you have to, when you're saying yes to something, you have to say no to something else. There was one woman that was on stage. We went to a conference. She has two little kids at home, and she said, I'm not going to tell you that you can have it all, because when I said yes to be on the stage, I said no to my kids and I left them, and they're home now for the whole weekend. I said no to them, and I was like, finally. And she's very successful, but she's like, that's what I chose. And I was like, finally, an honest person who's out telling women that if you want to be on stage, if you want to be, you know, all out in the world and making a difference in the world, there's somebody at home getting taken care of by somebody else.
But can't you wait till you get, they get a little bit older and then make the decision to say, okay,
and there's a time and a
older.
Place. Heidi, talk about that, where there's a time.
So good.
There's a time for each part of your life.
Well, essentially what you just said is that life is seasonal, right? Mm-hmm. And motherhood especially is seasonal. Like, women have a very limited number of years in which we can have children. Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, men are not like that. You know, my husband, I always laughing. I'm just like, dude, it is lame to be a girl. I am telling you, like, the whole developmental stage of girlhood is super lame. And then, you know, you have all the things that come with childbirth, which is pretty rough. And then when that, you don't get rewarded when that's over. No, no. Your body hits you with menopause, right? Like, thank you for all the sacrifices that you have made. Here's some hot flashes for you. And now you're going to be moody and depressed. Now your body's like, well, you're too old to have children. So now you feel old, like, on top of everything else, right? And so, you know, this whole motherhood gig is really rough. And I think women need to realize that it's seasonal. And I love what you said, because there is a time, like, so I'm in my mid 50s now, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And most of my children are grown, and I have a 13-year-old. So there's a 20-year gap between our oldest and our youngest. And so I have a 13-year-old daughter, mm-hmm. and I'm trying to soak up as much time with her as I can, mm-hmm. and realizing I'm in a different season of my life. And I would be so devastated right now to look back and go, I had all these seven, you know, these five beautiful daughters and my son, and who have missed that opportunity with them so I could chase a dream, chase money, chase platform, God forbid, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. whatever it is. Because really, and that's another way that the feminist movement has lied to women. I'm always telling, like, you want to pursue a dream, have children when you're young. Like, if the Lord brings you a wonderful man, get married, mm-hmm. have a passel of kids. Because by the time your kids start leaving your home, I'm in my 40s when my kids start leaving my home. I've got lots of life left.
Yes.
You know, I could write a book. I could start a podcast. And I don't have the regret of looking back over my life and going, shoot fire. I wish I would have loved my kids better. I mean, certainly I made some mistakes along the way. And we could sit here I could entertain you with hours with all the mistakes 100%. I made with my kids. But I do think we need to look at motherhood, especially in seasons. And so if the moms, you know, the women who are listening to this, or husbands who have, you know, if you have a wife and you guys are, you know, in the years of forming your family, pour into your family, mm-hmm. pour into your family. The return for that is immeasurable. It is immeasurable. You know, and our oldest grandson is 10 now. Mm. I was talking with him last night, because on Sunday afternoons, I like to, this is how you get your kids to come home. This is a pro tip for everyone. Make food and they'll come home.
Yes.
So, like, last night I made Italian meatballs, and we did, like, this big spaghetti Italian night, and my kids were home, and my grandson and I were sitting in the kitchen talking, and I said, Noah, I would really love to take you and Wesley out for Frosties, like, once a week, because my granddad used to do that with me. Mm-hmm. And I got him those little Frosty tags, you know, that you can get for Christmas. And I said, and it's not expensive, right? It's an investment of time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so I told his mom, you know, my oldest daughter, I said, Savannah, I want to, can you help me put this on my calendar? Because my life is stupid busy. Mm-hmm. Can you help me put this on the calendar? So I've got, you know, a little time. And she goes, Mom, why don't you just take him after church on Sunday? Because then you're not trying to figure something out. You're already there. It gives mm-hmm. me a break, because I can take him, put mm-hmm. the babies to bed, and you can go get milkshakes with the boys. And I was like, oh, genius, right? Mm-hmm. It's genius. It's the little things that end up meaning the most. You know, you put those decisions, those cumulative decisions together, and the little tiny decisions that you made to prefer your children or to pour into the life of your husband, those are the things that pay the dividends in the long run.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I I love, it's part of the reason why I was so happy to partner with Brave. I mean, they're bringing like story time back to families. They're saying, hey, the stuff that actually really matters is they're the little things. It's not the great big gifts that you could afford because you worked your rear end off so you could afford to give your kids for Christmas that's going to be in the Goodwill this time next year, right? Yeah. It's not that stuff. It's the little things. It's going out for milkshakes. It's pouring into the lives of your kids. That's where it's found. That's where the blessing is at. And I mean, for all the struggle that it is, I think for modern women in this culture today, and even for men, look what we have shamed our men. You know, we've told them we don't need you. You know, anything you can do, I can do better. Like, look at all the superheroes in the movies now. They're women. Stupid, stupid, stupid. Like, you know, you put a woman out there and it's like all of a sudden she's the strong one. No, yeah. I'm sorry, but every woman knows men, if I get into a fight with a guy, almost any guy, a physical fight, he's going to take me down. We're different.
Yeah.
We have different roles to play, different. God's made us different and it's beautiful. I'd love to embrace the differences. And instead, the feminist movement spent the last 50 years bashing men and trying to be men. And now we see men trying to be women. It's stupid.
No, what is happening?
It ain't happening here, baby.
I love what you said, especially about the books, because, you know, and I'm sure you can relate to this, homeschooling forever. And there was days where my kids were like, Mom, I just want to spend time with you. And I'm like, what? I've been home all day long. Like, what's wrong? What is that? What's wrong with this relationship? And it got to me. I'm like, oh my gosh, I am busy in the house. I'm doing other things. My mind is somewhere else. And it's that quality time. And it could be like 5 to 10 minutes a day per child of just sitting with them, taking them to milkshakes. That thing is that experience for your grandchildren is going to take them into adulthood. They're going to remember that. And even reading a story to your children, we forget that they just want our attention. They don't want the gifts. They don't want the stuff. They, because we have 5 girls, 1 son, Michael is all about food. And I agree with you. If you cook, they will come home.
That's right.
Yeah. He moved back home already.
They will come.
He couldn't handle it. He's like, Mom, I have meat in the fridge. I'm like, great. He's like, are you making dinner tonight? I'm like, I am. He's like, I'll be over in 10 minutes. Yeah. Like,
I have ingredients. Yeah. What should I do?
Yes. What should I do? But my daughter, so we always sit down for dinner, all of us, and we sit and talk. And one night it was Sunday. We were at church. So it was late. We ate lunch very late. And I'm like, my gosh, it's already 6 o'clock. And we kind of just finished the meal. And so she's like, well, what's for dinner? I'm like, I can make you a sandwich. And so we sat and we were watching some movie and she's eating the sandwich. The next morning, she's like, Mom, what's for dinner tonight? I'm like, I don't know. Why? She's like, can I help you like decide? I'm like, okay.
Yep.
Next morning, like same thing. Mom, what's for dinner? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm making this chicken. Oh, that's great. I'm like, is this a good meal for you? And she's like, yeah, it's great. I'm like, did you like the sandwich the other night? She's like, yeah, it was delicious. I'm like, so was it the food that you're craving or the family time sitting down that you missed out on? She's like, oh, she's 9. She's like, yeah, it was sitting together and talking. That's what I missed. And I'm like, ah, little kids know what they don't know the words sometimes. They think it's the food. They think it's something else, but it's the quality of time that you have together that we all crave.
Yeah. And it is what they take with them. You're right. Into adulthood. In the middle of COVID, which I just hated that whole thing. I mean, I have like, I don't know how you guys feel about it, but I just have PTSD from the whole thing. Stupid, stupid, stupid.
Are we anyway, related now? Are we like best friends? You don't even know.
Oh my word. Well, so this like little forced, you know, at home, this communist thing that they did to everybody. I bought a book called 52 Shabbats. And the whole idea was, you know, it's the Jewish celebration of Shabbat that they do every Saturday, right? But the idea of Jewish culture is that you put your phone down, you're not allowed to be on your phone, and then they get together around a meal. And it was at that time that I told my family, I like to have you guys over for dinner, like every Sunday. We're just pulled away during the week. And wouldn't it be something if on Sundays, and we can't do it every Sunday, right? That's not realistic. But as often as we can, you know, I'll make a pot of chili or whatever it is. I'm trying really hard to figure out how to do some Israeli food because I think it'd just be fun to learn. And I asked my daughters, would you guys like to help with this? And they're super excited about it. You know, you come over and you sit around and there's life that happens around the dinner table. Yeah. And yet forever and ever, we were told, you know, drive through the drive-through on your way mm-hmm. to soccer practice. And we miss all these things. And it turns out that was the stuff that life is made of. You know, that's the stuff that takes you to the end of your life, that you're, you know, hopefully should the Lord tarry and God give, you know, Jay and Heidi, you know, 50 or 60 years of marriage and where our grandkids are sitting around, I want to look back on my life and say, I read books to my kids. I was present in the lives of my kids. That's the stuff that really matters. Everything else is just passing through, right? Mm-hmm. That's the stuff that life is made of.
Yeah.
Anything else, Julia?
I mean, I can
continue this conversation for the next 2 hours because I could be a fly on the wall just listening to you talk about chili. Now you're a chili person too.
There's a fly spot right there. My darling.
Listen, Heidi, where can the people get more information on you? Websites?
Yeah. I am lit up like a Christmas tree on the interwebs. But if they want to, they can go to my website, HeidiStJohn.com. Also find me at Faith That Speaks. So FaithThatSpeaks.com. It's my women's Bible study community. The Off the Bench podcast airs 5 days a week for right now. that's airing 5 days a week. And if they want information about the Homeschool Resource Center, that is at firmlyplantedfamily.org. That's our nonprofit organization. We're really praying that God would help us figure out a way to get these in communities all over the country, because they really are, they're going to change the landscape of the country when we start realizing what's going on in education. So we got our hands in a lot of different things. My books are available anywhere the books are sold. And my newest book from Tyndale came out in September. It's called Momstrong 365, a 365-day devotional for mothers. So lots of stuff going on.
Yes.
Can I recap this?
You may.
So I would just first and foremost want to say thank you to Brave for introducing this to Heidi, because when he sent the book and he's like, you can get her on the show, I'm like, this is awesome. I love every single author that Brave has. And this is just a New Testament. This is to the culture and the core values that they've built. But Heidi St. John, married 35 years, mother of 7 children, 2 sons.
Oh, gosh.
She's written 9 books, 23 million downloads. Run for Congress. What hasn't she done? What's next? And she's still young and she's still going at it. So it's been an honor and privilege to have you on here and continue the work, continue the message, because firmlyplantedfamily.org, I think we can open something up in Tennessee. I think my partner, business partner, would relish that idea. He's got 3 children. I think he's homeschooling them right now, but I think I'm going to make that connection. So listen,
it's been an honor
and a privilege having you
Heidi,
on
you're
here.
You're awesome. So. Yeah, keep it up and ask for help. Keep asking.
I'm trying to buy myself a little vacation home. I'm asking for help right now.
Yeah.
What's for dinner, people? That's all I want to know. What's for dinner?
You know, it's funny because as you're talking, I'm also thinking what's for dinner, and also did the kids change the laundry? And so this is what she's talking about, okay? I bet you didn't think about laundry once.
No, I've got a call in 7 minutes. That's what I'm thinking about, my next call.
Right? This is the difference. I love it. You guys are so real and so genuine. It's just been a real treat. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you, Heidi.
Earning your degree online doesn't mean you have to go about it alone. At Capella University, we're here to support you when you're ready. From enrollment counselors who get to know you and your goals, to academic coaches who can help you form a plan to stay on track, we care about your success and are dedicated to helping you pursue your goals. Going back to school is a big step, but having support at every step of your academic journey can make a big difference. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.